Hello there, welcome to Back in the Day, and we've got a very special guest today. We've had Chelsea, we've had Tottenham, now we're going to do a lifetime with Millwall. And who knows more about Millwall than my cousin, Jeff Cook. All right, Jeff?
Yes, mate, yeah, good.
Now, Jeff, first question I always ask, why Millwall?
Going back to when I first started coming down Millwall, we moved to Peckham, so... being in Peckham, it was just Millwall, full stop. There was no other club. Born in Dulwich, could have been a Palace fan, but thank God. Got out of that one. So I moved into Peckham as a godsend. And that's where I first started going down Millwall, and ever since.
And when you first went, did you go with your dad or on your own or with mates?
Friends, mates. Yeah.
So, I mean, the atmosphere down there in them days must have been pretty good.
Unbelievable. You know, you sort of... I know it has its reputation and not good sometimes, but for atmosphere, you can't beat it. It's just unbelievable. And even now, you just still get that atmosphere.
So growing up in Peckham, what was that like?
Yeah, good. Good days.
Only Fools and Horses is set in Peckham, but I've never recognised that as being Peckham, have you?
No.
In any shape or form?
No,
it just
not
isn't.
At all. No, not at all, no.
Yeah. No. Do you remember your mum's Christmas parties? Doing the old conga out of the road at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and I remember talking about family Christmas parties. The best bit was when we started buying our own records and you put the Rolling Stones on. And I remember my Uncle Elf, he used to say, "Oh, what's that rubbish?"
You can't understand what they're saying.
You can't even dance that rubbish. Yeah, they're brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
The next minute, they're a slow walk to slow boat to China.
Oh, Emil Ford.
Well, the first time I went to the Den was with you, Jeff, and it was Boxing Day 1963.
Wow.
When they played Luton Town.
Yeah.
Do you know what the team was that day?
No, go.
Stepney, Gilchrist, Cripps, Anderson, Snowden, Wilson, Finnegan, Townsend, Terry, David Jones and Haverty.
Right.
Now, I don't remember Anderson, Finnegan at all, but I do remember Alex Stepney in goal.
Yeah.
Gilchrist and Cripps, I went to William Penn School in East Dulwich,
right.
And they actually came and taught us gym and played football with us.
Yeah. So Gilchrist was one of my favourite players. I think he was a terrific fullback.
Snowden, the centre half, I remember. And Joe Haverty, he used to be an Arsenal player, didn't he?
Yeah.
Republic of Ireland International.
Yeah. Good winger.
Little bloke, wasn't he? About 5'3".
Yeah.
Powerful shot.
Yeah, good player.
Anyway, they won 3-0 that day, but it wasn't a happy season. They were relegated and knocked out of the cup by non-league Kettering at home. 3-2. So, not the best.
Yeah.
Now, a legendary Millwall striker came in late that season, Len Julians. Now, what do you remember of Len Julians?
I remember Len Julians was playing when I was first football, like we say, it was 1963. Fantastic player. Anything in the air, it would end up in the back of the net.
Yeah, he was quite a veteran when he got the
air. But he could head a ball.
Still score a goal as well.
Yeah, without a doubt. He scored a lot of goals for Millwall,
So you're into the fourth division, down with the dead men. The previous season, when you got relegated, they lost more home games than they won. But that definitely stopped that season because a new strike force clicked for the go. Len Julians and Hugh Curran. Now, he was a good player, wasn't he?
He went on
to get Scottish caps, I mean. But he only played one full season. He scored 18 league goals and Julians got 15 in their 34 appearances. And then he was off to Norwich City. But he went the whole season unbeaten at home.
Right.
I mean, that's fantastic, isn't
it? Yeah.
And then you kept it up when you was in the third division as well.
Yeah.
And, I mean... You had Alex Stepney in goal. There can't be many goalkeepers in the history of English football who played in the fourth division who was as good as him.
Yeah, definitely.
Because he was fantastic.
Yeah,
wasn't
unbelievable
he?
Goalkeeper. Unbelievable. Went on to great things, as we will know.
Do you remember the save from Eusebio in the European Cup final?
Yeah.
And he shook his hand, didn't
he? Yeah, he did. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Brilliant.
Brighton won the fourth division. And do you know who their centre forward was?
No.
Bobby Smith. Remember the old Spurs? Smudger Smith, He had a falling out with Bill Nick and he sold him to Brighton.
Oh, I didn't know that. Right.
Yeah, so he was still...
Oh, wow.
He wouldn't have been upset by big centre-arse, would he?
No, he'd definitely
hold his own.
No, definitely not.
Right, a big highlight of the season was being drawn away to First Division Fulham in the FA Cup third round.
Yeah.
You got a 3-3 draw at the Cottage and won the replay in front of over 31,000. Did you go to that game?
Yeah, sure I did. Was Johnny Haynes playing there?
Yeah, I went to that game. They had Macedo, Cohen, Lane.
Funny you should say that about Johnny Haynes. I'm sure someone pulled his shorts down as he was taking a throw in.
I appreciated it.
Yeah.
He was a great player. But they had World Cup winner Cohen, Jim Langley was a great fullback, Graham Leggett, Scottish international. So, anyway, he done them up 2-0 in the replay. Now, 1966, Benny Fenton replaced Billy Gray as manager. What did you think of Benny Fenton as a manager?
Not a great lover of Benny Fenton.
And did you have Purser as the chairman?
Yeah, Purser was the chairman, yeah. Used to get his car smashed up.
he had
the old Kent Road.
He had a dealership, didn't
he? Yeah,
Dear me. Right. And Stepney actually played for England under-23s while he was at Millwall in the third division.
Yeah.
Which is no mean feat,
is it? No.
Right, so you're into 65-66. They got off the fly, losing only one match in their first 13 league games and kept it going. Unbeaten at home for a second consecutive season. I used to go down there a lot then.
Right.
And it was really exciting, the unbeaten home record, wasn't it? Because when a team used to go 1-0, you go, oh, that's the end of it. But they always seemed to pull it round.
Was it 59 home games, was it? 59 home games.
The funny thing was, you went up with Hull City.
Yeah.
And you played Hull twice in 2 days over Christmas.
Right.
Yeah, you went up there and lost 1-0. But you brought them down to the Den 24 hours later and beat them 3-0.
Wow. So
that was great. Now, there was talk these days, because me and my mate Alan Davis used to go over there.
Yeah.
And we always thought there was more people in the ground than actually.
Yeah.
They fiddled their attendances, didn't they?
Without a doubt.
It'd be absolute rammo in there. Yeah. Look at the Sunday people next day, 11,200. Yeah. That can't be right.
Rubbish.
Right, so promotion was achieved. Len Julian's top score with 22 league goals and being at home for two full seasons. That's incredible. The downside, Alex Stepney left for Chelsea for 50,000, signed by Tommy Doherty. But he played one game, and he played set off for Man United at 55.
Yeah.
I don't know why he bought him, because he already had Peter Benetti. He was going to play him alternately, apparently, which nonsense, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that's nothing, silly arse. Right, his replacement, 31-year-old former Scottish international, Laurie Leslie from Stoke City. Do you remember Laurie Leslie?
Yeah, very much so. He was a goalkeeper.
He played West Ham back in the day.
Goalkeeper, definitely, yeah.
They were doing well at the higher level, was seventh in the table when Plymouth Argyle arrived at the Den and broke Millwall's all-time unbeaten home record of 59, winning 2-1. I suppose all good things come to an end.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, a bit of trouble at the end of that one, Jeff. A bit of hooliganism, so... Is it warranted all the Millwall? I mean, you say any player about Millwall, the first thing they say, oh, I go down there, there's trouble.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Is there much trouble down
there? No, I haven't seen trouble down Millwall for many, many, many years. I mean, they've got a walkway. So if the away fans come down by train, the walkway straight into the new stadium. So there's no one on the streets, basically.
What about back then?
Back then? Terrible days. I was never involved in that sort of rubbish. But to see what went on was... And you bat that off, even to this day, you have to bat that off. Because if you say to someone, I'm a Wolf fan, they go, and you're batting it off all the time. It just sticks, doesn't it?
I mean, I went down there a lot back in them days, and I never saw any trouble down there at all.
No,
I saw some people say, because the away fans are too scared to go down there. Right, 2 weeks after you lost your unbeaten home record, third round of the FA Cup, 28th of January 1967, Tottenham Hotspur arrived at the Den for a third round FA Cup tie in front of 41,260 fans.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't go to that game. What was the atmosphere like that?
I got a little note on that one because I remember queuing up all night to get my ticket. I didn't have a season ticket then. So
the Spurs were a good side then.
Jimmy Greaves, they all played for them.
Jennings.
The side was amazing. So we went down there, like you say. 31,000 you mentioned just earlier. So hey, you've got another 10,000. Now I'll never know. It was absolutely, you couldn't move, but atmosphere, electric atmosphere. Great game. 0-0 at home to Spurs, you take that all day long.
Do you know the Millwall team that day?
Go on in.
Leslie, Gilchrist, Cripps again.
Yeah.
Jones, Snowden, Wilson, Hunt, Willie, don't remember him, Julians, Dunphy and Neil.
Dunphy.
What did you think of Dunphy? He was very slight, wasn't he?
Yeah, I did.
I think he divided the fans. Some people thought he was so skillful, you couldn't do without him.
Yeah.
Some thought he was too light.
Yeah, some said he was ahead of his time.
Like light beaters.
Can I say I was a lover of Dunphy? Don't think so. Very fragile. A proper Millwall player? No, not really.
He was there a while, though, wasn't he?
No, he was there a long time, yeah. I mean, he's a good footballer. Definitely a good footballer, without a doubt, you know, but like you say, he's flipped fans.
He done well for himself after he retired, didn't he, of all the writing?
He did, yeah.
Didn't journalist. He do, he done Roy Keane's autobiography,
yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, bit of a journalist.
And he appears on Irish television, it's like a summariser and stuff. Yeah. But in the replay, you held him out to the 70th minute when a bad back pass was picked up by Gilzean, 1-0. I mean, to lose 1-0 at the lane. Yeah. Didn't go to that one, did you?
I did go to that one.
Yeah.
And funny enough, I remember getting to Liverpool Street to get the train. I worked in the city of London, so straight to Liverpool Street, straight on the train, straight out to White Hart Lane, basically. And I think if my memory serves me right, the doors were closed at 6:30.
Okay.
You couldn't get anyone else in there, 50-odd thousand. But it was like South London moved to North London because it was like an home game. There were so many Millwall fans there because they didn't just give you a few. You know, you just went, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But you say 1-0 home goal, a bit tough to take, but still a good result.
And they went on to win the Cup that year.
Yeah.
In the first London Cup final.
Oh, okay, right.
Beat Chelsea 2-1.
Right, okay.
Bit of a boring final, if I remember right. Yeah. At this time, quality players were being signed. Keith Weller and Derek Posse were let go cheaply by Tottenham. Dennis Burnett arrived from West Ham. Youngsters Jules Jackson, Barry Kitchen established themselves in the first team, and you were looking to be a good second division side. These were exciting times at then, weren't they?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Keith Weller, great footballer, Keith Weller. Barry Kitchen, a little story of Barry Kitchen. I worked with a guy, and he told me that he was captain of Dagenham Boys Club. A lot of great footballers come out of Dagenham Boys Club. He was captain from the age of 15 to 19, I think he said. And Barry Kitchener used to play over there, and he had a best mate, Barry Kitchener. He couldn't remember his name. But his best mate was invited for a trial down at Millwall. And he said to Barry, come and have a watch. So Barry went over to come have a watch, stand on the touchline just before the game was going to start, and they were short of a player, Millwall. So one of the coaches come over to Barry and said, come and play. He's still got no boots. He said, it's dry out here, so just, you got your shoes on, so you'll be fine. So he went and played. His mate never got picked for Millwall. Barry Fisher did. So he plays in his shoes, weren't meant to be there, plays in his shoes, ends up playing for Millwall, and boy, what a legend. You know, his career was massive down the wall.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, he was... Great centre-half,
really good centre-half, yeah. And did he stack Millwall right to the end of his... Did he play for anyone else?
No.
Did he go anywhere?
No, I think he had an offer from... I think Liverpool come sniffing around him at some stage, but no, he stayed at Millwall, yeah.
Because sometimes they go down to sort of... Go down to Orient, insult the Orient.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They go down to all the shops,
yeah,
they finish off for a couple of seasons.
No, stayed at Millwall.
Oh, okay. Right, two more foreign players were added to the squad the year later in keeper Brian King and midfielder Gordon Bolland. There's another good goalkeeper you've got there.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I mean,
blessed with goalkeepers.
Eh?
Blessed with goalkeepers.
Yeah. I mean, Brian King.
Yeah.
Well, he did. Didn't he go to Coventry? I think he played at a higher level. I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
And Gordon Bolland. He was a good player, wasn't he?
He was a good player, in his own sort of way, really. he's one of them enigmas, isn't he? You sort of think, has he got it or ain't he got it? You know, one of them.
And then he scored a goal, you think he's got it?
Yeah.
I liked him as a player.
Yeah.
Tall, wasn't he?
Yeah, very tall, yeah.
But not, you know, you weren't your big lump up front.
No, definitely not.
A bit like Crouch, you can play.
Yeah, you can mobile, yeah.
Yeah,
very good.
Well, unfortunately, Keith Weller signed for Chelsea for £100,000 in 1970. In 70-71, ex-England centre-forward Barry Bridges forged a double spearhead up front with Derek Posse and scored 32 league goals between them.
God.
Do you know who the next highest goal scorer was? It was 10, Harry Cripps.
Really?
He scored a goal, didn't he? He did score a goal.
Oh, dear me.
He was great. I got a slipper off him at school, you know.
Really?
Yeah, first time we ever come down, Gilchrist took one lot and Cripps took our lot.
Right.
And we had a big complex gym and you could actually run, you know, go around it.
Yeah.
And he says, right, he says, just a warm-up. He says, get yourself in teams of six. So we've got ourselves teams of six. And he says, okay, he says, relay race round the gym. So you go running off, then you get around the other side, you just walk like, you know, we come last 1 mile. You better say we're a slip with us all.
Really?
He goes, right, we're going to do it again now. Went a bit farther the next time.
Terrible.
Yeah, he was a great bloke, he was.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so after finishing 10th, 10th and 8th in the last three seasons, Millwall had a great start in 71-72 when they went unbeaten in the first 12 matches. They kept up the fine form and actually led the table in the last day of March. I mean, that's late on in the season, isn't
it?
But do you remember what happened then, Jeff, for the last day of the season?
It went pear-shaped, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you had to beat Preston at home and Birmingham lose at Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
You won 2-0.
Yeah.
And it filtered through that Birmingham had lost.
Yeah.
And there was huge celebrations on the pitch. You remember that?
Yeah, I was there. It's unbelievable. And then it was like a pin dropped.
Yeah.
Because they obviously got the result the wrong way round. So.
Yeah, but you still weren't out of it. Birmingham had to go Leighton Orient
exactly.
On the following week and they got a 1-0.
Went to
Latchford.
Went to that. Over the Orient, that was like taking Millwall from Millwall.
Yeah, because I did notice the attendance was huge at Orient. Yeah. That's probably all Millwall fans,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
But to come that close is bad, but to come that close and think you've actually done
it. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
horrendous.
Yeah, I mean, that takes a lot of getting over. So, back to mid-table for the next few seasons. Though there was a highlight in 72-73, you went up to Goodison Park. Do you remember that game when you knocked Everton out of the cup?
Yeah.
And who scored the first goal? Harry Cripps. And Alf Wood. Remember
him? Alf Wood.
Big centre forward.
Do you know Alf Wood? There's another story I can tell you on Alf Wood. I had a very good mate who used to work with, who was Dagenham and Redbridge goalkeeper for 20 years.
Bloody hell.
And they played Millwall in a friendly. And he said, Alf Wood chased down a ball near the corner flag that you had no right to be chasing down in a friendly. You might do it when you're playing in a league game, but there's no way. And he said, that stuck with me, that a player of that, you know...
Well, yeah, what's he going to do in a league game?
Exactly. And I remember him telling me that story about Elfwood. Yeah, great player, really good player.
I think you bought him after... Did he play for Darlington or something?
Yeah.
And they launched you out of the League Cup?
Yeah.
And you bought him straight after because you were so impressed.
Right, yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was a good player. Scored a lot of goals for Millwall, anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, the team that beat... Now, the team's changing all the time. The team up at Everton is King, Brian Brown, Cripps is always there.
Yeah.
Alan Dorney, remember him?
Yeah, Alan Dorney.
Kitchener Burnett, Steve Brown, Bolland Wood, Dunphy and Doug Alder. Is it Doug Alder?
Doug Alder.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a bit of a flying winger, wasn't he?
Worked with his brother, funny enough.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, when I worked for HSBC, his brother come and joined us, yeah. But, a good player. Very good player. Very slight.
You had some good players, didn't you, back in the... they were exciting times down weren't they?
There's been some terrific players gone through that football club, but couldn't hold on to them, could you? You know, that's football.
And he done well for you. Old Dennis Burnett, didn't he? He was a bit of a class
Lovely
act.
Lovely footballer.
West Ham Academy, I suppose, isn't he?
Yeah, looked a good footballer.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, you sort of look at someone and you think, he's got it. You know?
He's got a bit of class about it.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Dorney, Kitchener and Burnett, that's a good halfback line, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Right, in 73-74 saw the emergence of exciting winger Gordon Hill.
Oh, what a player.
Yeah, he was flying winger, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Went on to Old Trafford.
So, yeah, he was so good. He was signed by Man United the following year.
Yeah. He was a top goal scorer at Man United for 2 years.
It's why he went out of the team. He was flying in that exciting team. Yeah. Cup, got promotion.
Yeah.
Got to the cup final.
Yeah.
And then suddenly he was out. I didn't really understand that at all, but it happened.
Was a good player. Mm.
Right, 74-75, you're back in the third division. Barry Fenton is replaced as manager by Gordon Jago.
Right.
He shouldn't have been a team manager. He should have been like the general manager,
shouldn't he? Yeah, I think so, yeah.
He had some great ideas for the club in there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But he sort of tried to get over the Millwall hooligans and thing, get above that, didn't he? Yeah. I mean, sort of stuff at the ground. But yeah, I mean, he had a good QBR side, didn't he?
Yeah.
Bowls and all that lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what happened to him afterwards. But. Right. Despite finding it hard to score goals, only 54 in 46 games, you get promotion. First time behind the Welsh boys, Hereford United and Cardiff City. Finishes of 10th and 16th consolidate second division status. Theo Foley filled in for a month as manager before George Petchy took over permanently from Gordon Jago.
George Petchy.
He was a Palace man, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
What happened there?
I don't know. What's he doing down there?
Right, now, was you at this game, Jeff? In 1978, Millwall reached the sixth round of the FA Cup and a tie against a very good Ipswich Town side.
Oh.
Much too good, and Ipswich won 6-1. That was a good Ipswich side.
Yeah.
That was Brazil, Mariner,
Tremendous side.
Butcher.
Great football side, yeah. That was a proper Ipswich, you know.
They should have won the league. Absolutely. The year Aston Villa won it.
Yeah, yeah.
They were the better side, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Too many games, I suppose. Yeah. Right, no bouncing back, straight back this time. Petchy was replaced by Peter Anderson as manager. I've got no recollection of Peter Anderson at all.
I remember Peter Anderson, yeah. I don't know where he actually come from. Went around long, was he, I don't think.
No. Well, after seasons of mediocrity, Anderson was replaced by someone I do know, George Graham.
Oh, man. George Graham.
December 82.
I always say that he was a mate of Teddy Sheringham.
George Graham. Yeah.
To the fact that Sheringham always wanted to score what you call TB goals. But Graham knocked that out of him, got him in the 6-yard box, and don't matter how you score a goal, that's where you score your goals. And to me, he was the making of Teddy Sheringham as a young lad, without a doubt. Yeah.
Did he come from non-league, Terry Sheringham?
Do you know? I don't know.
Oh, why have that? We notes later on.
Yeah.
But I mean, George Graham for the Arsenal was a legend, and he could have been there years if he hadn't done that thing, you know, the old fullback when he taking bungs or whatever.
Yeah,
he could have still been there 10 years later.
He could manage a down Millwall, without a doubt. They needed someone like that at that time, you know.
Well, he must be a good manager. He won the league twice with Arsenal, and they didn't have a midfield.
No,
all they had was him right up front and a good back four.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Midfield was very average. I suppose he had Merce as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was known for defensive 1-0 at the Arsenal. Yeah. Was he defensive at Millwall?
No, I don't think so, no. Not that I can recollect, no.
That's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
At last success, a second place finish in 84-85 saw Millwall promoted back to the second division. Another good FA Cup run reaches the sixth round, going down 1-0 at Luton. Now, that's one of your darkest days, isn't it? That
terrible.
Day. I mean, they took over the pitch and God knows what.
Yeah, terrible. They say there was an influx of Chelsea fans in amongst that. Was there? How are you going to know? You're never going to know.
I don't know why Chelsea fans would go all over the loop. Yeah, but you say that. They did play in ambushes and stuff on the tube back.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, West Ham fans waiting for some other fans to come along, ambushing them in the tube.
So it did go on.
Yeah, it did go on. I mean,
I know that's just something that I've picked up over the years, you know. Yeah, but
like a military operation.
Why?
Because I suppose West Ham reputation was quite bad as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
I remember going down there in the early 70s. Of being quite sort of threatened, you know, not threatened one-on-one, but it weren't a nice atmosphere down there.
No.
All right, if you're a West Ham fan,
yeah,
I suppose, back in the day. And then on the field, they were so nice, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, their team that's the team you want to play, let you play football.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Brookie Hurst and Peters and Bobby Moore.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, this is the team that starts the 85-86 season, Jeff. Sansom, Kinsherwood, Roffey, Briley, Smith, Nutton, Lowndes, Wilson, Fashanu, Lovell and Kinsella. I went to school with Bill Roffey.
Did you?
Yeah, he didn't stay with you very long, did he?
No.
He was Palace, I think he went Orient.
Right.
But he was a fantastic footballer as a schoolboy.
Yeah, he was a good player.
And Hinchwood was a Palace man as well.
Definitely was a Palace man, without a doubt, yeah.
What about old John Fashanu up
Hated
front?
Hated him.
Did you?
Hated him.
Why?
Couldn't stand him. I just thought he was a violence on a pair of legs. You know, I remember being down Millwall and saying to one of my mates, he's going to kill somebody someday because of just his acts of violence on a football pitch. And then you've got the Gary Mabbutt story. What he'd done to Gary Mabbutt was absolutely awful.
Got away with it though, didn't he?
Oh, God. Couldn't stand him. Couldn't stand the guy. Couldn't stand him at all. There's football and football, isn't there? And there's a fine line, and he crossed that fine line all the time.
For a Millwall fan to say that, he must have been pretty bad.
He was awful. He was a good footballer, scored a lot of goals. He was.
He got in the England side at one point.
Any centre half, you don't want to be marking him. That's a dead cert, you know. But not a lover of mine. Definitely not. No,
his brother was totally different, wasn't he?
Yeah, his brother, totally different. Yeah.
This Kinsella isn't the Kinsella who played at Charlton, is it?
No,
I don't know. I don't know him.
No, he's a good footballer, Kinsella. Yeah, not a bad player.
No, right. First season back, they finished a credible ninth. Jules Graham left in the summer to join Arsenal. John Doherty took over. Now, he was the Brentford man, wasn't he?
Yeah, John Doherty, yeah.
Yeah, he was a bit of a flying winger in his day, if I remember rightly. And the following season, they slipped down to 18th. Oh, Terry Sheringham came through the ranks to the first team, top scoring with 16 goals. So as soon as he came in that team, did he look a class act?
Oh, yeah, you can see the class, without a doubt, yeah.
I mean, he was even Shearer a good team, wasn't they? Teamwork.
Yeah,
he was a good player. Didn't like Arsenal though. He hated Arsenal. He's not alone. Right, 87-88 must go down as one of the greatest in Millwall's history. Sheringham formed a strike partnership with Tony Cascarino. They both scored over 20 league goals apiece, and against the odds, Millwall ran out Division Two champions. And were promoted to the first division. What do you think about that then, Jeff?
Well, time to be a Millwall fan. Eh? Remember our first game away to Aston Villa. I think, if I remember rightly, went to that, and I think we took about 6,000 or 7,000 fans up there. It was like a home game, really. 2-0 up and ended up finished 2-2. But a great start to the season. Great to be in the first division. Just think of where am I going to go next? Anfield, Old Trafford, I went to all of them. Didn't miss many games that year, I tell you.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, fantastic season. Yeah. Held their own in that division as well.
Oh, yeah. We've
so that about. First.
This was the time of Terry Hurlock. Do you remember Terry Hurlock?
Great player, Terry Hurlock. He was a better footballer.
He's a roll your sleeves up, man.
He was a better footballer than people give him credit for. If I remember rightly, and I'd have to probably look this up, but he actually went to play for England. They had a tour of Iceland and that sort of area.
Oh, yeah.
And he was the star player on that tour for England. He got voted the star player on that tour. He was tough. He was tough talking about sitting here with you, Dave, being an Arsenal fan. I remember playing Arsenal, and I can't remember who the keeper was, threw a ball out to Graham Ricks.
Might have been John Lukic.
Was it?
Could have been.
Right, threw this ball out to Ricksy on the wing, and you could see out the corner of his eye, Terry Hurlock coming at about 80 miles an hour. And I think Ricksy thought, I ain't having none of that, and sort of jumped over the ball and let Hurlock take it away, really. Yeah, I remember. That was really funny, really funny.
Yeah, I don't think Ricksy was one of the bravest players.
No, definitely not, no. But Hurlock was, far better football than people give credit for.
Yeah.
Really good foot.
What about Cascarino? What do you think of him as a player?
Yeah, good player. Yeah, well, proved himself as a good player.
Yeah.
Certainly could score a goal as a debtor.
He got all them Irish caps, and then afterwards he put in his book, I weren't Irish after all.
Yeah, yeah. But talking about going up to Anfield, in that game up at Anfield, I used to manage a football team in Milton Keynes, a men's football team, and one of my fullbacks was an Evertonian. And I said to him, I need 2 tickets for Anfield. He went, are you mad? He said, I'm an Evertonian. I said, you're not listening to me. Right? I said, if you want to play next Sunday, I need 2 tickets for Anfield. Right? But he got me these 2 tickets. So there we are, me and my mate, sitting in the stands. And all the Millwall fans were tucked down in the corner. And 10 minutes into the game, this ball comes across and Cascarino rose up And as it is head, believe me, that had goal written right over that football. But it hit the crossbar and come out. So I got a tap on the shoulder from a Liverpool fan behind me. And he says to me, mate, you want to remember that. You nearly scored a goal at Anfield. Right, that was his words to me, right? 10 minutes later, Paul Stevenson scored and we went 1-0 up. I said to him, oh, dear me, mate, this Anfield, this Liverpool fan behind me. I said, what did you say 10 minutes ago? He went, now you've got a bigger problem, right? Because you should never go 1-0 up against Liverpool because we'll murder you now. I said, well, I'll sit here and wait for that to happen. Thanks very much. It finished up 1-0. Terrific game of football. Come away there, big smile on my face. 1-0, you're right at Anfield. Yeah. Millwall fan, you take that all day long.
Arsenal fan, you take that all day long. We get bashed up there every year. Yeah. But they were a good side back then. Yeah. That was the Dalglish manager time, I think, in the mid-80s. They were a top team.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
good result. Now, unbelievable, Millwall went unbeaten in their first 8 league games and actually topped the first division on the 1st of October with a 3-2 win at home to QPR. Now, what's it like being top of the league? Best team in England, mate. Yeah. Didn't see that coming back in 1963, did you?
Yeah. And that's the great thing about being a football supporter, isn't it? We go every week. We're talking about it. 4th division. I've been in 4th division football, 2000 at the great game on a Tuesday night, probably home to Rochdale or someone. You think, why am I doing this? Because you're doing it because you want the dream days. You know, we all dream about that. And
yeah, you've got to take rough and smooth, haven't you?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, you know, when I hear people saying, oh, I'm not going down there anymore, well, that's not a proper football supporter. Not to me. No. You know, you are, or you're not.
That's why I can never understand what joy something like Celtic and Rangers, because apart from when Rangers got relegated through political reasons, say Celtic, you know you're going to win nine times out of ten.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're down there, you're home to St Mirren.
Yeah.
And you score in the 19th minute, you go, hey, we scored again, you know, we won again. They don't know, they're not getting the other half.
No.
Not apart from when they get beaten up in Europe every year, when proper teams come down. Yeah. Right. Sadly, a loss of form in the later stages. You won none of your last 10 league games. Millwall finished 10th. But you were a set of a 10th at the start of the season.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? That's top half, isn't it?
No, absolutely.
Millwall in the top half of the first division.
Yeah.
Right. Following season, back down to earth, bottom of the league and relegated.
Yeah.
You won your first away league match of the season at Southampton and never won another away game. At the end of September, fifth of the table, from then on you had only one more league win all season. John Doherty was temporarily replaced by Bob Pearson and in comes Bruce Rioch.
Ah, Bruce Rioch, yeah.
Do you remember Bruce Rioch?
Yeah,
we had him for a year.
Yeah.
He signed Dennis Bergkamp for Arsenal, you know.
Oh, really? Did
he? Yeah, he did, yeah.
Blimey.
Finger gets all the credit, but it was him who actually signed it.
Okay. Yeah, he was a bad manager.
Good player. All left foot, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Right, Tony Crescarino left for Aston Villa. Sad day.
Yeah.
Back in Division 2 and off to a great start. Unbeaten in first 9 matches. And the team that played in the first defeat at Middlesbrough was, this is the team at this stage, Horn, Stevens, Dawes, Waddock, Wood, McCleary, Carter, Allen, Sheringham, Ray and O'Callaghan. Now, he was a bit of a legend down there, wasn't he, Keith Stevens?
Keith Stevens? Oh, dear, a bit of a donkey as well.
Oh, was he? He played a lot of games, though, didn't he?
He played a lot of football, you know, someone liked him. But my favourite player in that team is Jimmy Carter.
He was an ex-Arsenal player, wasn't he?
Yeah, but a finer crossover of football, you won't find one.
No.
He could cross a ball unbelievable. He was fantastic.
Yeah, I think we got him. He never really got a chance.
No.
He was sort of on the free, coming on sub for the last 10 minutes. Yeah. And then obviously he'd had enough. But he could put himself about Alex Ray, couldn't he?
Alex Ray. I was at Notts County one year. He was 3-0 up at half-time away at Notts County. I can't remember how many fans. It was like an own game, really. And they come out the second half and obviously, when you're 3-0 up at half-time, it's hard to keep going, isn't it? We all know that.
Yeah.
And it turns out it's 3-3 and it's the 92nd minute and Alex Ray lashed onto a 25-yard screamer straight in the bottom corner to win the game 4-3. Yeah, good player, Alex Ray. Another good player. Bit of a Terry Hurlock, really. You know, he had that thing about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, good footballer. Yeah, a lot of people like Alex Ray, without a doubt.
Now, what Allen is this?
That's Clive Allen.
You sure? Did you... I know you did have him.
It was Clive Allen, wasn't it?
No, I think you got Clive Allen late in his career.
Was it? Right, okay.
You was Bradley, right. Is there a Bradley Allen? I don't know what Allen that is, but I don't think it's Clive. He went right through the London Cup,
didn't he? Yeah. I can't think of his first name.
A bad spell cost you in October and November, but a good finish meant you finished in fifth place and a playoff place. Now, this is your first experience of playoffs, isn't it? You had a few over the years. Unfortunately, you were beaten twice by Brighton, 4-1 and 2-1, and promotion hopes were over. Teddy Sheringham, 33 goals in 48 league games. That's impressive.
Anybody would take a player like that, wouldn't they, today?
He leaves for Nottingham Forest. Yeah. He's gone. So you've lost Cascarino and Sheringham now.
Yeah.
Back to mid-table. The following season, Mick McCarthy replaces Bruce Milk as manager. I don't like Mick McCarthy as a manager. I don't know why. He just seems very dour and dull to me.
Yeah, he's got that appearance about him, but he wasn't a bad manager down there. He didn't do a bad job down there, wasn't
he? He had the bust up with Keane, didn't he? The Irish
guy. He did. You're right, yeah.
I'm quite sure who was in the right and who was in the wrong there.
No.
Right, he replaces Bruce Milk. Better in 92-93, just missed out on the playoffs, finishing seventh. Better next season, gaining a playoff place, finishing third. Again, lost both legs of the first tie, 2-0 and 3-1 to Derby County.
Yeah.
Now, August 93, you're moving to your new stadium. What was that like? Going back to when you first heard, a couple of years before,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah.
Did you think, oh, no, I don't want to go. Is it their own?
Yeah, I don't think anyone wants to go because the old den was the old den. You know, he created his own atmosphere, the old den. You think, are you going to lose that?
Yeah.
Actually, we haven't lost that atmosphere in the new ground. Moved in it and got relegated twice.
Jinx ground.
Yeah, well, they say it's something to do with the railway line. It runs across one of the back of the stands.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, they had some Chinese guy in there of some sort, and he's saying it's the railway line. That's where you'll never be successful. I don't know. Bit feng shui going on there, I think.
Who knows? Back to mid-table in 94-95, struggling to score goals. Alex Ray, top scorer with 10 goals. Now you've got another good goalkeeper, Casey Keller. He was a good goalkeeper, wasn't he?
Definitely a good goalkeeper.
Played for Tottenham, didn't he?
Yeah, great goalkeeper,
So you've had Stepney, Laurie Leslie, Brian King, and now you've got Casey Keller.
Yeah.
I mean, that's impressive, that.
In
94-95, you did knock Arsenal and Chelsea at the FA Cup in the same season.
I was at both of them games. My son, that was when the FA Cup draw used to be on Match of the Day, 10 o'clock on a Saturday night. And my son was obviously asleep in bed. And the draw come up and I'm to Arsenal. I thought, God, I've got to tell him. So I went, my wife said to me, what are you doing, Jeff? I said, he needs to know. He's asleep. I said, well, don't worry about that. So I woke him up and told him, So in any case, we decided that we were going to go down by train. So when I got home from work, I said to him, let me just backtrack a bit. Because my son, at the age of probably 13, who'd been to a lot of Millwall games with me, got to his secondary school. And obviously all the kids there were Spurs fans, Arsenal fans, West Ham, whatever. And that's the time he became an Arsenal fan, my boy, and still is today. So when I got home, I said to him, where's your shirt? He said, I'm not wearing that shirt down with a wall. Dad, come on, right? So my wife dropped us at the train station. She said, right, I've had enough of you two for the last 3 weeks since the draw come out, right? Whoever wins this game, you just accept it if you lose it, right? And so obviously it was 0-0. So we've now got the replay at Highbury, and when I get home, Paul's all got his Arsenal kit on, off to Highbury we go. good side, the Arsenal then. Had some terrific players in their side.
Yeah.
But yeah, great night for Millwall. Great night. Yeah, they said that we were going to nick the clock or something, nick the hybrid clock. How you get up there to nick the clock, I don't know. But that's what was flying around at the time.
You imagine some bloke walking down the road with his clock on his shoulder.
Yeah.
That's at the new ground, that clock. Still survives.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
But in the very next round, you go out to a 91st minute penalty at QPR.
Disaster.
That's the cut for you, though, I suppose.
Yeah,
I mean, right, 95-96, surprisingly relegated to the third division on goals scored after finishing level on points with Portsmouth. A highlight was a 4-2 away win at Everton in the League Cup. Cool, you liked going up with Goodison, didn't you?
Yeah.
They had one thing, they used 34 players that year. That's a lot of players, isn't it?
That's too many. Yeah, too many. Yeah.
Mick McCarthy is replaced by Jimmy Nicol. That's the Man United right back, isn't it?
Scotch guy.
Yeah, no, Irish, wasn't
he? Irish, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, that's a strange appointment.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Right, disappointing 14th place in 96-97, starts managerial merry-go-round. Nicol is replaced, John Doherty returns for a couple of months, then in May, West Ham legend Billy Bonds takes over as manager. Yeah. Now, what do you think of that, Jeff? Because Millwall and West Ham, not exactly best buddies,
no,
are they?
Definitely not. Strange appointment, that one, Billy Bonds.
Yeah.
Didn't really do a lot. No, don't remember him doing a lot.
Good player, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, he
went on forever, didn't he?
Yeah.
You watch an old clip of West Ham, he's there.
He's still there, Yeah, good servant for them.
Even worse under Bonds, 18th place is replaced by Millwall legend Keith Stevens.
Oh, disaster.
Yeah?
Yeah, disaster. That never worked. Yeah.
I always think it's a shame when players like, you know, really respected players come back as manager and foul and the fans turn against them.
Yeah.
So you've got all that legacy of playing for 12 years and being loved.
Yeah.
Suddenly they're hated.
Yeah.
I find that a bit sad.
Yeah. That's not good.
It happens all the time. You see it all the time, even in the Premiership. Right, up to 10th in 98-99, 36 players used this time. That's a lot of players.
Yes,
that's over three teams, isn't it?
They say you should put the same 11 out every week if you're winning. But, that's certainly not true.
Neil Harris top scored with 15 league goals. He was a good player for you, wasn't he?
Neil Harris, legend. Yeah.
Only little bloke.
Yeah, I remember him getting the testicular, can't pronounce it, cancer.
Testicular cancer.
Yeah, I remember. He got that, and I remember his comeback game was away to Watford. And he scored an absolute cracker. And the whole team rushed towards him in the mud corner flag, lifting them up in the air in front of the Millwall fans. It was just incredible. Absolutely incredible. That sticks in your memory.
Yeah.
Legend, Neil Harris.
But a trip to Wembley in the final of the Auto Windscreens Trophy versus Wigan Athletic. Now, you nearly and probably should have missed out this game because you were having a few health problems of your own back then, Jeff, weren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, but I went.
Tell us about it.
What, going up there?
No. Why you nearly didn't go.
Heart attack. Nearly never went. But
so how old were you then? About 40 odd.
I wasn't that old.
No.
No. What year was that?
99. Oh, you must have been because it was about 22 years ago.
Yeah. But. I remember saying to the doctor when I was lying there, he told me I'd had a heart attack. I said to him, are you telling me that I can't go to football?
You get your priorities right,
so, yeah. So my wife said, don't listen to him. Right? I said, Brenda, I'm telling you. Right? And I was still playing football then. That was like probably my last season of playing football. That's what I said to him. You can't tell me I can't play football anymore. Right? But I did carry on playing football. And remember walking up Wembley Way. Feeting, I need to behave myself here. but went to that one. Yeah.
Because I was just after my sister Susan had her 50th party and you came along.
Right.
And you was telling us about it then.
Yeah.
And all the girls going, you idiot. You know?
Yeah, what a stupid thing to do.
But unfortunately, Mill lost the game 1-0 with a goal in the 90th minute.
Yeah.
Oh, you do like losing the late goals, Jeff. Yeah. You don't get your ticker any good, is it?
Definitely not. No.
Now, the Millwall team that ran out of Wembley that day, Roberts, Lavin, Stewart, Cahill, Nethercott, Dolan, Ifield, Newman, Harris, Sandia and Reed. Now, Tim Cahill.
Great player.
Yeah, I mean.
Great player.
He had the best spring of any player I've ever seen. I mean, he's only a little bloke. He'd be up against over the 6 footers.
Yeah.
He scored some wonder goals as well, didn't he? He scored one for Australia in the World Cup, I seem to remember. Yeah. Where he put it over about 30 yards. Is it Paul Ifill?
Paul
Ifill?
Good winger.
Yeah, he was good. I don't remember the goalkeeper, Roberts. Right, Stevens goes at the end of the season. Alan McCleary takes over. He's the Man United midfield bloke, isn't he?
Alan McCleary?
Yeah.
He played for Millwall.
But he didn't he come any of the Man United bloke or not?
I'm not sure. No. I'm not sure.
But there's too many managerial changes, Jeff, and you're changing them every season. You say that, but Chelsea do that, and they win European Cups and leagues, don't they?
Yeah, European Cups. No. That's the next stream, isn't it?
Right, with Neil Harris bagging in 25 league goals in only 36 starts, and Tim Cahill, Paul Ifield, Paul Mooney all getting the double figures, 99-2000 was more successful, finishing fifth and gaining another playoff place. Once again, it was Wigan, and they were too good after drawing 0-0 at home, but you lost 1-0 at Wigan.
Yeah.
You don't like these old playoffs, Jeff, do you? You lost every run so far, right? Right, next season, Mill only conceded 38 goals all season and become third division champions with 93 points. Neil Harris top scored again with 27 league goals. So old Neil Harris is really banging him in now, isn't he?
Terrific player.
Did he score good goals, or is he just the fox in the box?
No, definitely not a fox in the box. I've seen him many times be on the edge of the area and stick it in the top corner many times. That was a bit of a forte for him. Yeah. He used to do that quite regular.
And did he work as well? Did he run back cover?
Yeah, worked hard.
Right, once again, the manager's gone. Mark McGee took over as manager in September 2000. What did you think of Mark McGee as a manager?
Cheer up, Mark McGee. That's what we used to sing to him.
Cheer up, Mark McGee. Right, you're sitting into League One table well, finishing fourth and another playoff place. Oh, Millwall did the hard part, getting a 1-1 at Birmingham City, but were heartbroken when City scored a win at the Den in the 90th minute to go through. What is it, these 90th minute winners you keep losing
terrible,
to?
Terrible, mate, isn't it? Terrible.
You must be hating the playoffs at this stage. You've got a new top scorer, Steve Claridge. He was a funny player.
He was a strange lad. But he was like socks all down the ankles. Looked a right scrub.
But he's got a good goal.
Come here, mate, come and have a game. You see him somewhere on a football pitch. Come, mate, come join in. Oh. One of them scruffy players. Yeah, but he could score goals.
Yeah.
You can take that away from me.
Now, at this time, your chairman is TV dragon Theo Pathetis. Do you remember him being the chairman?
Yeah.
Any thoughts about him?
Yeah, when he first got there, he was pretty good. But he went a bit pear-shaped. I don't know what happened with him.
I bet he just got bored with it. And
probably did.
I'll finish with this. I'll go do something. Because he was going to buy Woolworths when they bent bust, wasn't he? They changed his mind at the last minute. Right, you slipped down to ninth in 02-03. Joint top scorers were Neil Harris and Steve Clary. So you've got two good players up there, haven't you?
Definitely.
Early in 03-04, manager Mark McGee was replaced by Dennis Wise. Now, we all know Dennis Wise. What do you think of him coming in?
Yeah. I think the mate who I sit with now down at Millwall to this day, we was talking about him last week, funny enough, when we was playing Luton. And he was saying, do you remember Dennis Wise? What a really good manager he turned out to be. Better than all our sort of, just thinking, is he going to be a good manager? Yeah, he done well for us, yeah.
He brought Ray Wilkins with him, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
He's a steady influence. Because Ferguson said, oh, Dennis Wise started fighting a phone box.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
And he was a nasty little bloke on the other pitch.
Horrible football.
Typical Wimbledon player.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely fitted in with that lot.
Yeah,
Right, another mid-table finish, but after beating Tranmere Rovers in an FA Cup six-round replay, you found yourself in an FA Cup semi-final against Sunderland at Old Trafford.
Yeah, obviously.
You must remember that one, obviously. Definitely. It's a long way to go, though, isn't it? Yeah. They sent Arsenal and Spurs up to Old Trafford for a semi-final. I've never understood it.
But see, again, I think Sunderland were definitely favourites, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And I know they had a free kick that hit the bar in the first 10, 20 minutes or so, Sunderland. And when that sort of thing happens in a game of football, you think, oh, could this be our day?
Yeah.
I remember that volley that Cahill hit and then come running all the way down the sideline with his shirt waving in the air. I mean, you know, I've seen a few grown men cry.
Yeah,
the cup final. They all win the cup final. Yeah. Doesn't happen, does it?
No,
doesn't happen. That's in your dreams, you know. Like, yeah, but so.
I mean, it's a great achievement, Jeff. But I've got to say this. You must have had the easiest route to the final of any team in history.
Definitely.
Your route. Well, I'll tell you your route.
All right.
You beat Walsall, 22nd in the First Division, Telford non-league, Burnley 19th in the First Division. That's not the First Division. That there is it's Premier League. League One Championship. Tranmere in the and then Sunderland. You didn't play a Premier League team.
No.
But
happy days.
Yeah. I mean, is the cup? Yeah, that's what it is.
But
it's strange.
Yeah.
Right. FA Cup final. Manchester United in Cardiff.
Yeah. Sadly, we had four first team players missing that day. Yeah. Neil Harris being one of them. So it was always going to be what it was going to be.
I mean, the Man United team, Van Nistelrooy, Scholes, Giggs, Roy Keane, Ronaldo. Pretty good side. And you held out for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
44th minute, Ronaldo scored.
Yeah.
And then they got a penalty.
But remember coming away from that game, sitting in my car, on the radio was the Cardiff mayor. And he was saying that he'd never, in all the cup finals that he attended, has he ever seen, because normally when the final whistle goes, the away supporters disappear. But he said, I must give those Millwall fans a round of applause, because they stayed and cheered the Manchester United fans when they was coming round the pitch for the cup. He said, that never happens. So you think Millwall got this reputation, but there's another side to Millwall. Yeah. So people don't talk about that side.
No, you go 3 years of nothing happening.
Yeah.
But it don't count, does it?
Yeah, no.
You get one bloke run on a pitch or something.
Yeah, and then you're the worst since sliced bread. Yeah.
I mean, the worst thing I've ever seen is Eric Cantona's kung fu kick. Oh. I mean, if he'd been a Millwall player, bad for life, that shit.
Yeah, without a doubt. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah.
But because it was Manchester United.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Millwall in the FA Cup final. Great memory.
And you qualify for the UEFA Cup.
Yeah.
Millwall in Europe.
Yeah. Funny enough, in my house, I've got what I call, you would call it a study. It's my football room. It's known as my football room.
Jeff's den.
Jeff's den. And I've got my cup final shirt framed, hanging on the wall.
Yeah.
To one of my nephews once happened, I'd die, by the way. He's got to wait, just hang about a little bit more, mate.
Yeah. Right, 10th again in 04-05, eliminated from the UEFA Cup at first hurdle, losing 4-2 on aggregate to Hungarian side Ferencváros. So the European dream didn't last too long. Only 11,000. It's your first European game in history.
Yeah.
Competitive game.
Yeah.
Only 11,667 turned up. It was less than the previous home game against Reading.
Strange.
Yeah, you think, they would have gone there. And,
definitely. Yeah, definitely.
But that was disappointing.
When we've been to playoff finals and took 50,000.
But knowing Millwall, there was probably 35,000 down there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that was more in the old days, How much, what is the capacity of the new den?
20,000.
20,000?
Yeah. They're talking about developing it because the area around the ground is being developed as we speak.
I mean, if you get an Arab come in or something like that, you get in the Premiership, you'd have to, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah. Like a lot of these teams do.
It's pretty harsh now being in the Championship if you're a small club. Because what really riles me is the parachute payment. and clubs relegated from, you know, they go up into the Premiership, probably earn £140 million. They get relegated and they give them another £60 million. What's all that about?
I don't know. I suppose they have to spend the £140 million on player to try and stay in there.
Yeah.
I don't think he does them any favours. They bring in a star foreign player, don't they? They just don't fit in.
No.
But Brentford have done well, haven't they? They've got up there.
Yeah, good side, Brentford.
Yeah, play good football.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, beat the Arsenal first game, I don't know.
Yeah, see that.
Right, end of the season, Dennis Wise leaves, replaced by Colin Lee, who is then replaced in 2005 by David Tuttle. I don't remember him as manager at all.
Just.
Millwall were relegated. Tony Burns, then Alan McCleary, again, are short-term managers. Nigel Spackman takes over in May 2006, but is replaced 4 months later by Willie Donaghy. Now, it's really a merry-go-round of managers. Yeah, you didn't get a go, Jeff. Everyone else has.
You should have done a better job than some of them.
Right. Disappointing 10th place finish in League One. One bright spot was Darren Byfield, 16 league goals in only 28 games. Donaghy is replaced by Kenny Jackett in November 2007. What do you think of Kenny Jackett coming in?
Yeah, like Kenny Jackett.
Yeah, he was a football man, wasn't he?
Yeah, definitely a football man, isn't he?
But he got worse before he got better. It's even worse, 17th, 07, 08, but improving in 08, 09, finishing 5th and a playoff spot. Now, this time, this is even more heartbreaking. You beat Leeds.
Yeah.
You beat Leeds 2-1 in aggregate.
Yeah.
And in the final, little scumful.
Yeah.
What happened there, Jeff?
Oh, mate, I don't know.
That was a really good game, though, for a neutral, that was. That scumful name.
Yeah.
I mean, not so much for you.
Yeah. No. Yeah, scumful.
Alexander scored a fantastic goal that day.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. I saw it recently on YouTube.
It's probably one of the best goals you'll ever see, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the best Wembley goals. I mean, no one sees it because it was only Millwall scumful.
Yeah, exactly,
but, But it was a great... I remember watching it on the time.
Definitely, yeah.
You were 2-1 up. But they scored a winner, 5 minutes left, and it's 3-2 defeat. Oh, that is heartbreaking, it. But you think, oh, no, Leeds... Oh, but we get through, it's only scumful.
Yeah, you do, don't you? Absolutely, yeah.
It's like the old commentary, oh, it's only parlour. Yeah. Yeah, but then football's football. I mean.
Yeah.
But these teams, even scumful, they always have that season when they're good, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, they did last long up there, didn't they? They were down.
No, definitely not, no.
Right, even better in 09, 010, finishing third. Steve Morrison, top scorer with 21 league goals, and Neil Harris scoring 13 in only 24 starts. Man, Steve Morrison, he looked old before he was old.
You're funny you should say that. Yeah, you're probably right.
Who's that old bloke up front? Well, the one who just scored. Yeah. Right. Now, if Harris had kept fit, I think it's a very good chance. He only played half the games.
Yeah.
You could have gone straight up. You only finished 1 point behind Leeds.
Yeah.
So you could have done it, but you didn't. You're back in there. You beat Huddersfield 2-0 on aggregate. And you're in the final. Another trip to Wembley to play Swindon Town.
That Huddersfield game at home, a night game, I've never experienced an atmosphere like it. Never. It was just incredible. I don't know what it was. I don't know why it was.
Maybe you're so frustrated after all these 90th minute. Every dog has got to have its day, you know.
But every Millwall fan who was at that game would tell you the atmosphere was more than electric. It was amazing, absolutely amazing. Put the fear of Christ up them other two players. You could see their wingers disappear off the wing, basically, and end up playing 20 yards.
I remember going to Millwall versus Huddersfield in the 60s, and Harold Wilson was there supporting Huddersfield. Darling Harold with his bike. Right, Swindon Town at Wembley, Jeff.
Yeah.
1-0 win, Robinson, 39th minute.
Yeah.
You've done it. Yeah. After all these attempts, you've won a playoff final. Well, just getting to the final, but you've done it. I mean, every dog has its day, you're there. Yeah. You're in the championship. Right, into the championship. Your place in the division is consolidated by finishes of 9th and 13th. But in 2012-13, you slipped to 20th, 2 points above the drop. Kenny Jackett leaves, and in comes Steve Lomas.
Steve Lomas.
He's the Irish fella, isn't he?
Yeah.
In January 2014, Ian Holloway takes over. You finish 19th. I've always thought he was too much of a comedian, wasn't he?
Idiot. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely
idiot. Can't he used to be funny that. All the time.
Oh, terrible.
He had his bit of success with Blackpool, didn't
he? That was his highlight.
Yeah, he lived on that.
Yeah, definitely,
It makes me laugh, this manager, like with Steve Bruce now.
Yeah.
If you feel sorry for him, he's got another golden handshake. He's had 20 golden handshakes. Yeah. I mean, it must be the only job in the world where you can be absolutely useless.
Become a millionaire.
Yeah, they give pay off your contract for you, walk away with 4.8 million.
These are supposed to be clever people.
Yeah. Yeah, he had Peter Reed as well, and Joe Royal was another one.
Yeah.
They just go round and round and round.
Earn a lot of money.
Mick McCarthy, he's one, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Steve Bruce, I mean, more clubs than Tony Jackson. Old Sam Allardyce.
Old Sam
Allardyce, Jesus Christ. Saviour from relegation. Right, relegated in 14-15, Holloway goes. Legend Neil Harris takes over. Was you pleased with that?
We was all pleased with that. But the style of football he played... I remember playing that sort of football on a Sunday morning. Basically, it was terrible.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was just a big hoof up front, basically. It was horrible.
Oh, a bit Watford-Wimbledon.
Yeah, not good. Not good to watch. Mm. Yeah. So, again, he got rid of the young boy at St Palace now. Eze?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
£20 million player. Harris got rid of him.
He's an exciting player, isn't
he? He's a terrific footballer. But we didn't play that sort of football. We went past that midfield.
Oh, he was just watching the ball going across the field.
How can you get rid of a great player like that?
No idea.
No worries.
Right, you steered as a ship and you finished fourth. Lee Gregory smashes in 20 league goals. Steve Morrison gets 16. Playoffs, Bradford City are beaten 4-2 on aggregate, and it's back to Wembley to take on Barnsley. Now I'll watch this game. And I've got to say, Barnsley played really well.
Yeah, you
came into a team bang on form that day. They played really well.
They did, yeah.
And you got beat 3-1. But you certainly know the way to Wembley now, Jeff.
Yeah, that's right.
It's second home, isn't it?
It's called our second home. If you want to go to Wembley, mate, you're renting it off of us.
It can't be. There can't be many more teams in that era who played at Wembley more than you did, didn't they? All the time.
Definitely not. We call it our second home.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Right. The following season, you finish eighth, but in 2016-17, it's back in the playoffs, finishing sixth. Lee Gregory is again top scorer. He was a good player for you, wasn't he?
Yeah, Lee Gregory. Died out of the death, but a good player.
Yeah. You get revenge over Scunthorpe, winning 3-2 away after a goalless draw at the Den. Back to Wembley, Bradford City. And this time you win with a late goal.
Yeah.
1-0, Steve Morrison. Steve Morrison, 85th.
Yeah.
He can score a goal from distance and all. He was a good player.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Right, back in the Championship, an incredible 8th place. But in 18-19, a drop to 21st place, one place off the drop. October 2019, Neil Harris is replaced as manager by Gary Rowett. What do you think of Gary Rowett, mate?
Dividing the fans at the moment, Gary Rowett.
He sets
his team up not to get beat. Do we like it? I don't think so. No, we don't like it, is the answer to that. But he'll lose a game and you think, oh, here we go. And then he'll win two games. So it's a bit of an enigma at the moment. It's like...
You're sort of in no man's land. It's better than struggling against relegation.
No man's land... one defeat in eight. You know, you say that all day long.
It'd be
four of them are probably draws, but one defeat in eight is not bad, and we're 3 points off the playoffs.
Yeah,
the playoffs.
Oh, that Championship's a funny league.
You could be relegated
the same season after top of the league in January.
Yeah, but good football in the Championship.
Yeah,
good football. You see some good football in sides down Millwall. I've seen a lot of good football in sides down Millwall.
Yeah, I suppose there's so many foreign players. They're all the good English players are cycling down to the lower leagues, aren't they?
Yeah.
Right, the last two seasons he's been there, you've finished 8th and 11th. Currently this season, you're currently 10th in the Championship. So, where are you going from here then, Jeff? Do you see, I mean, you will go up or you'll go down. Is it more likely you'd slip away or
could you press on? So, I think we've got a squad down there good enough. It's finding the right 11 to be on the football pitch at the moment. He's got his full squad now. He'll die by the sword because he said, don't judge me until I've got my full squad.
Well, that's fair enough, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
maybe that's what you didn't do before with so many managers, you know.
Yeah.
One bad season, they're out.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, what's your thoughts on your rivals, Jeff, Palace and Charlton? Palace. Would you ever go and watch them if Millwall were away?
No chance. No chance. Palace now, they actually, the last time I went to the Palace, they give Leeds in the type, they give them 7,000 tickets. They give us 3,000. Because if you give us 7,000, we're now turning that into a home game.
Yeah,
because of the amount of noise we'll make. 7,000 Millwall fans is like having 20,000 Liverpool fans in your ground. So they only give us half the tickets.
So you'd never go and watch them if Millwall were away, Palace fans.
No, never happened.
What about Charlton?
No.
Struggling, didn't they, Charlton?
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely wouldn't go. Wouldn't catch me in their ground. No
I was chance. A season ticket holder for Charlton for 2 seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you why. Because I've worked right next to the ground at Charlton, and I could just walk across. I could leave the car parked in work, walk across.
Yeah.
And me and Bob, my son, they were in the Premiership.
Right.
So we thought, well, the season ticket was something ridiculous. Peanuts. Like 500 or 600 quid. So we used to do that. I used to finish work and just walk over to the ground. Going overtime Saturday, get paid for it, double. Straight over the ground. I mean, we saw some. I tell you, it's funny because I'm an Arsenal fan. Because you can't help it. If you watch a team, you sort of support the team. You see the same player. I sort of supported them in the ground, like, you know.
Right.
I don't want to say I'm devastated if they lost, but I mean, I did support them. But when the Arsenal came over, and this was when we had the good Arsenal side of Vieira and all that, we just run rings around them. And they say we used to pass it in the goal, but we were good enough to do it for
absolutely. Yeah.
And they'd done that, and Vieira scored. And I went, yay! And they all looked at me. What's this, mate? He's been supporting Charlton for 3 years. And I'd turn around and I'd quick the ball, I said, oh, I've got him in my dream team. Yeah, I thought we were going to lynch otherwise, but it was funny.
We're talking about doing that. I went to West Ham one day with my mate, him and his daughter, West Ham fans, and I couldn't get a ticket. So he said, well, come with me. I'm thinking, you've got to be mental to go and sit in the West Ham end to watch Millwall. But then I'm a Millwall boy. Do I want to see Millwall at West Ham? Of course I do, right? So there I am, sitting in there, thinking, don't really want to be here, but hey-ho, it is what it is. And then all of a sudden, the chant from the West Ham fans was stand up if you hate Millwall. I'm thinking, gosh, now the choice was, am I going to stand up? Am I heck? Right, I'm a Millwall fan. I'm not, and I don't hate Millwall, so I'm not standing up. But I was definitely waiting for the right hander to come somewhere. It didn't happen, so I got away with that one. But would I ever do that again? No, I don't think so.
No.
Mad.
Even worse back in the 70s, you definitely wouldn't even do it in the 70s, would you?
Wouldn't do it now.
Talk about 70s. What's your thoughts on the modern game, Jeff, compared to, say, the game of night, say, the Posse Weller era of football compared to football
now? I think that Posse Weller, those sort of players, and some of the players we've mentioned, would beat any Millwall team now. They're just better footballers. We haven't got
The pitches they used to play on, Christmas puddings, weren't they? For about November, there's no grass.
Just watch the Jimmy Greaves tribute thing on the telly.
Yeah, I watched that.
You look at some of them pitches, you think, why? Why? You know, how did that game go on? It's just amazing, amazing, you know. But
snow, just play on the snow, didn't they?
Football today is definitely not the same. Definitely.
What
not
about,
the same.
You know, the faking injuries and stuff? That's reaching ridiculous proportions.
Can't stand it. It's cheating.
Yeah.
End off.
Even a throw-in. They'll fight over a throw-in. Oh, yeah, ball. They fake perfectly well. It's just gone. It's ridiculous.
That's the joys of being a Millwall fan if you're down Millwall. If that player tries to nick even two yards, that crowd is so loud and the referee's back to get him back to where he should be taking it. It's turned out to be funny, to be fair. So no one nicks two or three yards down Millwall. No. It don't happen.
Yeah. I think one of the best rules they brought in was the goalkeeper back pass rule.
Yeah.
Because when you watch an old game now, that stands out as the way sideways
definitely.
And it's made them, they've become France Beckenbauer, aren't they, goalkeepers?
Yeah.
apart from Arsenal, who can't play it out of the back. They see more goals than any other way than trying to play it out. They can't do it.
Yeah.
What about VAR, Jeff? You a fan?
No, not at all. I can't work out how we can say when he was definitely offside or he wasn't offside, and we can see that within seconds. And then 2 minutes later, you're still waiting, you know? It takes that glory out, you know, to excitement.
It takes too long, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's terrible.
In other sports, it don't take that long.
No,
sometimes, you know, sort of 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah, horrendous.
And when you find out that sort of
your big toe was 20
seconds before the goal actually hit the net, some bloke was a toenail offside. Yeah. I mean, look at them Lions.
And now we've got the latest one with the linesman, don't put his flag up.
Oh, so they play on for 5 minutes, and they go, oh, he's offside back then.
Yeah. Where's that come from?
I've no
That's
idea.
That's not stop. That's rubbish.
I mean, the only thing that works is the goal line technology.
Yeah, definitely.
That works well.
Yeah, and that's needed.
I've never seen the 1966 ball cross the line. I've never seen a film that shows that ball over the line.
Did it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
The linesman didn't know. That's a dead cert. But I'm not convinced it did.
No, nor am I.
I'm going to be unpopular here, but they were lucky that day because that goal, no one knows whether it did. And also, if that had been in a foreign country, when all them, Jeff Hurst puts the ball in the goal and there's 100 people on the pitch.
Yeah.
I mean, the referee will back.
Yeah, yeah.
So they sort of got away with one didn't they?
Yeah.
There's some people on the pitch. I think it's all over. It is now. Yeah. Well, it shouldn't be on the pitch. What are you doing on the pitch?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Good day, huh?
Yeah. Now, give us your three favourite ever Millwall players, Jeff.
Okay, three favourites. Let's go.
If you've got four or five, it's fine. But
Keith Weller.
Yeah.
Terry Urlock. Tim Cahill.
Tim Cahill.
Three.
Barry Kitchener must be up there, though, mustn't he?
Yeah, good centre half.
Yeah. And they're a long time.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I mean, you know, we've been blessed with goalkeepers, haven't we?
Yeah.
Alex Stepney, great goalkeeper. You know, it's just, Jimmy Carter, terrific winger. You know, anything in football, any winger, a proper winger, will get you off your seat. Going past defenders, taking defenders on, going past them, getting across in.
Yeah, midfield, Ray Wilkins, Crab, you know.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ray.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? That football, they're good footballers, but you're right, get it out of the wigger and he's put it past him, he's off.
Yeah, yeah.
That's got to be one of the most
exciting
things.
I suppose if you go
away
from Millwall, one of my favourite players was Glenn Hoddle. I've never seen a player like it. Can do both feet, knock a ball 70 yards and it land on the end of your toe.
Yeah.
Amazing footballer.
Yeah.
Amazing footballer.
We had a good crosser as well, Arsenal, George Armstrong. He was a great crosser of ball.
Yeah.
I think he could have got an England cap. It's amazing, really, some of the players back then who only got one cap or didn't get many. John O'Lean's got one cap. Tommy Smith of Liverpool, one cap. Charlie George, one cap.
Yeah.
Now, they'd have about 55, wouldn't they?
They would, definitely, without a doubt, yeah.
I mean, anyone can get a cap now, it seems to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Get picked up, go on for the last 2 minutes and you're in.
Yeah.
Now, Jeff, one thing. Now, you lived in Milton Keynes, and didn't you used to go and watch Milton Keynes Dons play?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
Because my neighbour used to drag me along there.
Did you sort of support them? Did you want to win that?
No.
You just went there as a neutral time?
Yeah. But it went. Good stadium. Super stadium, to be fair. It needs championship.
Was it a hockey stadium?
Yeah, there was a hockey stadium. But I used to go and watch them. But then I used to go down Millwall from Milton Keynes. You know, that journey was probably 60 miles. My journey now is 80 miles.
Because you live in Norfolk now, don't you?
I live in Norfolk, so my journey is 80 miles there, 80 miles back.
Are you going to nip across to Norwich and have a look at them?
No, only been Millwall.
You can't dislike Norwich, though, can you?
No.
You know what I mean?
This is
a nice club,
I remember going to Norwich many, many years ago where Millwall. And I think you'll find, if you look back, you're talking about Millwall being top of the division, Norwich was second.
Yeah.
And I remember going to that game, and I've never seen that happen in all my time, where the referee blew the final whistle, took himself to the touchline, and applauded the players off the pitch. Never seen it. right? Yeah. But it was such a great game of football. Two really good footballing teams, you know, rightly being first and second in that division at the time. And the referee applauding the players off the pitch, you don't see it.
No, but, definitely not.
Yeah, it was terrific.
Some of the referees were quite fun back in them days, didn't they? Gordon Hill.
Yeah.
Players should shout him and he should shout back.
Yeah.
That Roger Kirkpatrick had the big cypher as a referee.
Yeah, characters.
The one I did like was Clive Thomas.
I
didn't like him. He seemed to be free. Do you remember when he was in the World Cup, Sweden playing Brazil?
Yeah.
And the bloke took the corner and he blew the whistle when the ball was halfway to the goal. And the Brazilian bloke ended it. He said, no, the game's over. I blew the whistle. Yeah, but what's the point of taking the corner?
Yeah.
It's called Thomas the Book. They called him something like Clive the Book. Right, Jeff, now with me, I don't know why, but I've got a bit of a soft spot for Queen of the South. Since I was a kid, I've always looked out for their... Maybe because it was a funny name.
Right.
And I still do now, cause I still look for Queen of the South, and they're always rubbish. I mean, they've never done anything. But have you got a soft spot for any other team?
Scottish side?
No, any team.
Morton's my Scottish side.
Oh, is it?
And I don't know why.
Hold a ton.
I'm like you. I don't know why, but Morton... I always look for it. Look where they are in the table. Look for their results. I don't know why. That goes back years.
That's bizarre, isn't it?
I haven't got a clue.
I think they're playing. I think Queen of the South are playing Morton. Five on it.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll be going up to watch Queen of the South any other time. Right, Jeff. I think we're about done with Millwall. Anything else to say about Millwall?
No, mate. I mean, obviously a few little historic things in my. You know, the choice of being a Millwall fan, I suppose, some of the things I've got up to. The way to Portsmouth one year, 71, 72, I think it was, and pissing down with rain. Come out, got about 3 miles up the road, and my windscreen wipers packed up.
Oh, great.
Disaster. But fortunately, I was right by a greengrocer's. So I went in the greengrocer's, got two potatoes. I said, cut them in half, mate. He said, what do you want them cut in half for? I said, well, you come outside and I'll show you. So I rubbed this potato over the windscreen, so the film of a potato and the rain just falls off your windscreen. That got me home.
Oh, a bit of a motoring tip there from Jeff.
Then we was going to West Ham away one Saturday, and we was working one Saturday morning with a mate of mine. We used to have to take like bulk paper to get shredded in Edmonton. So we had this old van, and we used to do 3 trips. But we was meeting some mates up for a few beers before going into the game. And on our third trip, what I said to him was, we normally start at 8, should we start at 7, then we can get in the pub a bit earlier.
Yeah.
That was the plan. So on my third trip back to Water City to park the van up, I come round somewhere up in Hackney, round the corner, and my throttle cable snapped.
Terrific.
I thought, great. Well, you know, need to get to the pub, need to get to Millwall West Ham. What do we do here? Remember that someone must have told me because I didn't know it myself. So I sent my mate over to the shop to get a ball of string. Tied the string to the carburetor lever, up through the bonnet, shut the bonnet, through the side window, started out, pulled the piece of string that made the throttle lever go up and down. So there we are, all the way back to the city, pulling this piece of string with this throttle cable. Oh, mate, things you do to go football and watch football is amazing.
Oh, God.
I suppose my ultimate one was really, I suppose, it's not good, but me and my wife, Brenda, we went to visit her brother, and he said to her, I've got some good news for you, Brenda. So I said, oh, what's that? He said, we're getting married. I said, oh, great. When's that? And he said the date. And I thought, shit. Right? I said, Mickey, I said, I'm sorry, mate. I can't come to your wedding. He went, pardon? I said, I can't come to your wedding. I said, Millwall are home to West Ham. Right? And there's no way, like, as a Millwall fan.
Priorities.
Priorities are. I said, but I'll tell you what I do. No, be fair. I'll tell you what I do. Brenda would have some clothes in the hall. So when I come back from football, I get changed in the toilet, suit in the booty, no problem. So, and that's what I've done. And Millwall won 1-0, which was even better. So I walked into the reception with a Millwall shirt on, winning 1-0 under West Ham. What a day. Better sit in the church.
Yeah, too right, mate.
Yeah. But, yeah, That was maybe not the right thing to do, but
yeah,
should be bad.
Now, I think I've forgot to say, is the song "No One Likes Us."
Yeah,
that is unique to Millwall, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
No one else sings. Oh, no. They might sing.
Well, they do.
It doesn't belong.
I've heard Burnley fans sing it. I've heard a couple of fans sing it, but what? Why? What are they doing? What are they doing?
I don't know.
Not the same, is
that
it?
It is quite unique to you, isn't it?
Absolutely, without a doubt. Yeah.
And I listened to that other one you got going on now. The me.
That drone.
How long's that going for?
Well, it can be going on. I've been to places where it's gone on at least 10 minutes and it rises and it falls.
If anyone wants to hear it, it is on YouTube. I listen to it.
Yeah. And it's actually saying Millwall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't know it, would you, really?
No.
Just to intimidate us.
You see, if you get, it's quite strange how you're hated everywhere, but it's quite a few times when other team supporters, they've often said that they love Millwall being at their ground, love it, because the atmosphere that they create, and we don't wear shirts.
Why don't you wear shirts?
I think that goes back to the hooligan days.
Oh, because you want to be recognised.
You want to be recognised.
The police can come along and grab
wear
you.
Don't wear them. And to this day, they don't wear them. You obviously get the kids. But if they was to buy Ronaldo and being based on selling football shirts, who'd want one of them?
Yeah.
No, you're right. I've got a few Millwall shirts, but only keep them for nostalgia, not to wear.
Yeah.
So
I think you must be the only club that does that as well.
Yeah, probably are. But then we are the only club. Mm. And I think if I'm going to tell the truth here, Poppy Day, no matter what football ground, Millwall is the highest ground that collects most money for Poppy Day. You know, 2 years family community.
Good old Millwall.
Good old Millwall.
A long way to continue.
I'll be there, 3 o'clock.
Let's give a prediction for today's game, Jeff, and then when we sit back, we can... is it home to Stoke?
Home to Stoke.
What do you reckon?
Tough game, got a couple of players missing. Savile's got his fifth booking last week, so he's not playing. And Afobe, he's on loan from Stoke, so he can't play.
Oh, okay.
But I think after last Saturday's performance, great performance.
How can you lose home at Luton and then go and beat Sheffield away?
Tell me about it, yeah. So, you know, are we a better away side? I think we are, but we need to adopt that. We're not playing on the front foot at home.
Yeah.
We need to play on the front foot.
Yeah.
And I don't think Rowett would get away with a performance that we put in last week.
Yeah.
And I don't think the players want to put in a performance like that. You wouldn't want to do that. They should know better than putting a performance like that.
So what's the score today then, Jeff?
2-1 at Millwall.
Good for you.
I hope.
I'll put them on by both teams to score a bit.
Okay, mate. Okay for it.
Right, thanks a lot, Jeff.
No problem, mate. Been
a
pleasure.
Okay, cheers. Okay, if you have any comments about today's show, leave them in the back of the day group on Facebook. See you next time from me, Dave Ruitt. Goodbye. See you later.